Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And of course, we're being brought to you by WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, and in his signed Catholic radio, where we are also giving honor to Kathleen McCarthy. Yes, her birthday was yesterday, and we're just so fortunate to be part of her ministry, and we praise God for her, and who, in my opinion, is like a living saint here, you know. And so we're just so blessed to be to know her, to hear her over all these years, tell her stories, listen to her prophecies, listen to the different stories, miracles that have happened. And so we just thank you, Kathleen, and for all the people who you've touched with your loving words and also your prayers. Also, you know, coming up, talking about birthdays, you know, this coming week, I think it would be on the 18th, is some of you will know, is the popular Father Jim Blunt. His birthday is on Saturday, the 18th. And so he would be on the feast day of St. Camillus. And so, or they're known as the Hospitallers. You know, they're the ones that wear the Red Cross. They're not associated with the Red Cross, but he's somebody else too, who I think when he and Kathleen, they do these conferences together. I've been in some of those conferences also with the Flame of Love, or just the Charismatic Community, or other talks I've given with Father Blunt at the Malvern Retreat House. And so those two are like the dynamic duo, and both of them, it's amazing that they're like living saints, in my opinion. They're born in the same week, you know. And in fact, this week, I have to, since I'm on that topic, this week is just filled with a lot of saints, right? So today, of course, as you heard from our host on the prior radio show, it is today Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And of all things, I am also a Carmelite, and I'll get into the meaning of what a Carmelite is, the difference between a first order, a second order, and a third order. I'll give you that. And so, you know, I don't know how much Marta and Tara were talking about it in their program there about the different virtues, but I love that they offered that prayer at the end of their program dedicated to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And so what I wanted to share in today's program is what I learned from Carmel. And specifically, I learned the secret of life. Like, how many of you would love to know the secret of life? I mean, I didn't know this. I mean, to me, it's like one of those things, like, well, I mean, we're in this game of life, and shouldn't we know the different rules of the game? Shouldn't we know the boundaries or what's in play or out of play? What makes a good player in this game of life? And what's the secret in excelling in that game? And what is the secret in winning in this game of life? Well, I learned that, well, because through the Carmelites. And so I want to dedicate this program to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, who also, you know, appeared in dressed as Our Lady Mount Carmel in the Fatima apparitions in the sixth and the final Fatima apparitions on October 13, 1917. So I'll get into that. And then again, you know, this week was jam-packed with a lot of different saints. You know, July 13th, which was, on Monday? That was the apparition there of Fatima when Our Lady appeared to the children and showed them the visions of hell and gave that prophecy about what looks like a pope would be assassinated, right, or attempted assassination, and then that we need to convert, pray for the conversion of Russia and have Russia consecrated to the Immaculate Heart, and then also that we should be praying, you know, dedicating the first Saturdays to the Immaculate Heart. And then Our Lady actually also taught us a prayer. So part of this program is learning, right? Because what happens is Our Lady taught us. She wanted us to learn. Our Lord taught us. He wanted us to learn. It was prophesied in Scripture that God himself will teach us. So hopefully what I can show in this program is I will also teach you the secret of life. Because if you think about it, you know, I know it's easy just to go switch the channel and go to on your phone or your computer or your tablet and, you know, go on YouTube or what have you, or go on any of the social media. But what's really popular in YouTube is learning things, right? You see all sorts of videos there about how to cook, how to do a certain type of hobby, you know, learning things about traveling, languages, you know, learning about movies and entertainment, all various things. And people have this amazing appetite to learn because we all want something that's true. We want something that's good. And we want something that's beautiful. And so that's called transcend. Those are the transcendental. Those are the three things, no matter what age, how old you are, no matter what race, what creed, what country, no matter if you were living in the beginning of time, you know, through the David and King, you know, King David, through whatever, through, you know, all the way to when Jesus was born, through the apostles and all the way through history to current, people always want something that's true, good, and beautiful. And hopefully I can help bring that to you. What's true, good, and beautiful is the secret to life and how to win in this game. Now, I'm not talking as if I'm some success. No way. It's through my mistakes that I've learned, oh, that's not what you're supposed to do if you want to excel in life. So I'm going through it at the opposite way, that instead of messing up like I did in my situation and learning from other people who messed up in their life, well, do the opposite. Do these other things that that people tend to do, and you'll probably go the right way. If you think about it, Catholicism is countercultural, right? Because we're looking of things that are above, and we're willing to sacrifice for something that's greater than whatever's here, the material things here, the temptations things here. So before we go further, let's start off with the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All right. So I wanted to start off as far as with Our Lady of Mount Carmel and some of the history about it. But let me first, clarify, well, what is Carmel? And you know, what, you know, some people may pronounce it Carmel, some people Carmel. It's definitely not caramel, okay? It's not the candy. And so when we talk about Carmelite, we're not talking about a sugar-free version of the candy caramel. Okay, Carmel is a mountain. So Our Lady is dedicated. We have this dedication under her patronage, under her care, her guidance, her protection, her auspices from this mountain called Carmel. And Carmel, I don't know if you know this meaning, but I was watching an old video. I don't know if you've heard of or remember, you know, Father John Carapi. Any of you remember him? I mean, he was all over, super popular. You know, he got this great voice that really projected when he talked, very authoritative. And I just remember his great homily or teaching about what Mount Carmel, what Carmel means. And the hint is anytime you see a word that ends with E-L, so it's a Jewish, you know, Hebrew Old Testament word that ends with E-L, like the word Carmel, that the L part, the E-L, that actually means God or of God. So do you remember like the three archangels, right? Micah, Michael, or pronounced Micah, L-E-L, or Gabriel, or Gabriel, the E-L at the end, or then the last one is we got Gabriel and Michael, and then, why am I going blank right now? Raphael. So the L of Raphael or Raphael, some people pronounce it, but it's Raphael. So that means all of, the E-L means of God. So if we go through those names, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, or that Michael means like who is like unto God or who's like trying to be like God or of God. And it was kind of like a, how shall I say, a challenge. Like who thinks they're God? And that was a challenge to Satan, right? To Lucifer. Well, if we go to the other archangel, what you call Gabriel, Gabriel, the L means of God, but Gabri means the strength of. The strength of God. So Gabriel is the strength of God, whereas Raphael is the medicine of God. So the going now back to the word Carmel, the L means of God, but what does Carm mean? Well, the original word really means Karim. Karim. I'm not talking about that basketball player, the 7 foot whatever guy who changed his name from Lou Alcindor back when he played for the Milwaukee Bucks and then went to the Los Angeles Lakers and won championships and changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, this Karem-El is where we get the word, a Carmel. And so Karem or Karim, it stands for garden. So what this really means, Carmel or Karamel means the garden of God. And the reason why I spent time teaching you the deeper meanings of these words, because now I'm empowering you to really tap into things of God. He is true. He is good. He is beautiful. And so when we actually see a name like Michael, maybe your name, your middle name, or you may have named your son, or you may have an uncle, a father, or a friend named Michael, or one of those archangel names, and they have that L in as a last part of their name. Well, it actually has roots there of the word of God. So that name means it's already under our Lord's name. So here's Karim El, so it means garden of God. And so Mount Carmel is God's garden, and it's like his choice garden. It's his place that he wants to plant seeds. It's like it's his place where it's his own garden. And if we take this further into a symbolic sense, that Our Lady is that garden where the seed of the woman would become the savior of the world. In other words, that would be Jesus would be take on human flesh, become incarnate. He would take on human flesh, become a little two-cell zygote, becoming a fetus, becoming and then being born as a baby. So he was a human right from conception, right through the power of the Holy Spirit and the ovum of the Blessed Mother, that her womb was that garden where the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, planted the seed. So our Lord Jesus Christ would be conceived in that garden of Our Lady. And so, and the other part, the other thing that we have to know is, any of you love gardening out there? I mean, my wife is one of those people, just loves garden, loves being outside. It's beautiful. My brothers also loves garden. It hasn't hit me yet, but I do appreciate nature as far as doing that. And, you know, I don't have that kind of physical ability at this point right now due to my severe lung issues. So it's just even hard for me to even just bend down without having to grab onto my oxygen tank or something like that. But let me get back to the point here. For those of you who like gardening, that you will know that you put fertilizer, right, and you'll till the soil, you'll make it soft so that you can, you pull out the weeds if you have any there, and you need water and oxygen, you need the different fertilizer, and you want to have good seed that's planted in there. Well, the term for the ground, it comes from the root word of hummus, not the kind that necessarily that we eat, but it's the humus. This is where the root word, the H-U-M, where we get the word human. So if you think about it, that when God created Adam on the day of creation, of day six, he grabbed the hummus, the humus, the soil, the dirt, the dust. He blew his ruah, his breath, and that piece of clay, that soil, that dirt, that humus became a human, and that's what we are, right? We learn this every time it's Lent or Ash Wednesday, that man, we are dust, and dust shall we return. So remember, man or mankind, that we are dust, and dust shall we return. And so we are human because we have origins from the humus, from the dirt. And so I'm going to tie these two together, where the Blessed Mother, she is the most humble human. And therefore, her heart also is that soil that is very soft, that's very fertile, so fertile that it actually contained infinity himself, the ultimate reality, God himself, Jesus himself, the Son of God, that he grew into this, from this garden of God, and from this humble human soil of her heart, this immaculate heart, and this is where we get our Lord Jesus Christ. But it was through the fiat, the humility of Our Lady to be that maidservant of God. And in fact, when those of us who know those prayers to Our Lady, where we pray three times a day, and in the middle at noon we will say, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word, when we pray the Angelus, right? And so again, what that shows, and it's related to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, because Our Lady is really the garden of God, and this is why this day of Our Lady Mount Carmel is super important. Or again, if you stick with me, I'll help reveal to you what is that secret of God. What is the secret of life that really I feel came through the Carmelites, and I owe so much to them. So with this here, when Our Lady does say in the Angelus, where she says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," that actually also is related to Carmel, because when people think of the Carmelites, the first thing they might think about is not necessarily Our Lady, but more, but what's really popular is the scapular, right? So you've seen this. It's a brown piece of woolen cloth. Some are very plain, dark chocolate brown, and there's two pieces of it. It can be various sizes, you know, like a couple of inches to paper size. Like we Carmelites, we Third Order Carmelites, we wear like the ceremonial scapulars that looks like a size of a page. And so there's like two pages, and then it's connected by two strings or two straps. And those two straps we throw over our shoulders with that page or that piece of wool over our chest, covering our heart. And the other side goes over our head and to our back, past our neck, between our shoulder blades. And the medical term for the shoulder blades are called scapula. And so the adjective would be scapular. So that piece of cloth that goes draping over our back really goes between the shoulder blades, between the scapula, and that's how it got its name. And so it could be the size, like the ceremonial ones that we wear for special occasions that are, you know, like 8x11 or 8x10. But then most people see the smaller ones that are, you know, like 2 inches by 3 inches or something of that sort. And it'll have a picture of Our Lady Mount Carmel on one side of it, and the other one may have the picture of Jesus. So it might have the Immaculate Heart of Mary, or the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or it might have the Our Lady of Mount Carmel on one side of one of it, and picture of Jesus on the other. That's what I have. It's like I have Our Lady of Mount Carmel on one of the pieces of cloth, and then I have the Sacred Heart of Jesus on the other. So, which leads me now to the scapular. And so what is that? What is that for? What does it mean? You know, because today actually is the day, back in 1251, that the scapular allegedly was given to St. Simon Stock, and that was on July 16, 1251. And Simon Stock was the person in charge of the Carmelites, the friars, the monks, and they had fled Mount Carmel, and Mount Carmel is really a mountain. You know, it's, again, on the coast there of the Mediterranean Sea. And so it's kind of parallel to the Sea of Galilee, kind of parallel to where Jesus was living in Nazareth. And so it's really close to the city of Haifa. So, but that is also the historic place, that Mount Carmel, of where spiritual warfare occurred between Elijah and against the 400 priests of Baal, and they had a contest, a spiritual contest, to see who is the true God, the God of Israel, you know, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the Baal. And so, some of you may be familiar with that competition. And so the 400 priests of Baal, they tried to conjure up Baal to light. The contest was whoever could light up this pile of wood would just their god would make their god the winner. And it turned out that, of course, that false god, Baal, which is just a fallen angel, couldn't do that. So when it was Elijah's turn, he did the ridiculous of pouring water on the pile of wood. Like, you would think you would want gas, right? But no, he did the opposite. He poured water over it, prayed to to God, and God sent down a bolt of apparently lightning and put it on fire, even though it was soaking wet. And so he won the battle, proving that the God of Israel, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the one true and only God. And then Elijah took it upon himself to slay the 400 priests of Baal. And you would think, in doing such a massacre, after slaying the first, the second, the third, the 10th, the 20th, the 30th, you think the other remainder priests of Baal would like run away or leave. No, for some reason, they were all around to the point where Elijah was able to slaughter all of them. And so that was a great battle won against those followers of Baal, essentially of Satan, of the devil. And so that's where the spiritual warfare is. And so this is connected to the Carmelites, because then a group of monks wanted to settle there. And as they did later on, there was a lot of animosity from others, to the point where they were attacked by the Saracens. And this led up to the 1200s here, where St. Simon Stock and his group of monks, they literally had to flee, and they settled in London or England. And so in England now, this Simon Stock, when he was bewailing the decrease in their vocations and being ousted from the Holy Land, he was in a cell praying. And while he was praying, he was calling upon our Lady for her help. And that's when she appeared. And she appeared to him in his cell on July 16, 1251, with, a whole bunch of angels. And, and then that's where she gave him the scapular. Now, all this is alleged, because supposedly people have said, even some Carmelites have said that they don't have any written proof about this, but this is a long-standing tradition. We're heading into the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break soon, but I forgot to offer the number to call in. So if you had any questions or comments about this program, or just you want to share, you have a prayer request, to please call in here to the WTMR station, and the number here is 856-962-8178. Again, it's 856-962-8178. And then our program director, engineer Michael, will answer and patch it through, so we can say hello to each other and share your comments with the audience. So let's take a break, and then we'll be right back. We'll talk about the scapular and our Lady of Mount Carmel, and then I'll share about the secrets of life. All right, so let's take a break, and we'll be right back on In His Sign Catholic Radio on Signs, Healed, and Delivered.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, welcome back again. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And again, we are on In His Sign Catholic Radio through WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. We're talking about Our Lady Mount Carmel, also about the spiritual battle between Elijah, the Old Testament, and the 400 priests of Baal. And then we talked about St. Simon Stock, who received on this day, July 16th, back in 1251, the popular and famous scapular from Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so this scapular, is again this brown cloth that really actually shows what it is. It's really an apron. It's really a hand towel that servants would wear, so they'd have it draped from from their shoulders down to their feet, and then on the backside it'd go from the back of the shoulders to their heels, and they would literally wipe their hands dry from washing the dishes or what have you, or cooking or what have you. And then when that side it gets dirty, they would kind of spin it around, so the front side would go to the back, and the back side would now be in the front, and that would be clean. And then I would imagine, I don't know if they did this, but once those sides got dirty, maybe they just flipped it around, I don't know, and they used now the back side of it and did the same thing. So there's like four sides you can wipe your hands on. I'm not sure about the back side. I'm just kind of joking around there, but who knows? You know, maybe they did, because it's hard to always wash all this stuff. They didn't have like washing machines back in the day. But our Blessed Mother, like I was mentioning, she called herself a handmaid. And so when we Carmelites, we're the third order, means that we're the lay people, we are also declaring that we are servants of the Blessed Mother, which in turn means we're servants of Christ. We are here to do the Lord's bidding. We want to please our Lord. God is King, Jesus is Lord. Christ is King. And so Jesus is also our brother. Our Blessed Mother is our spiritual mother. And so we serve them. But the only one we adore and worship is God. We don't adore and worship the Blessed Mother. We give her honor. She's not God. She's the mother of God, but that doesn't make her higher. She was the one that was chosen by the Holy Trinity to be that fertile soil, the garden of God, the Karim El, to be able to enflesh Jesus Christ. So he was incarnate and became man, where he would ultimately grow up from being a little baby to being a grown man, paying for our sins, redeeming us, defeating the devil, and then setting us free and defeating death by his life, death, and resurrection through his holy cross. And so, and by shedding his precious blood. And so this is how we as Carmelites look at it. We in the same line or fashion of Elijah, who had spiritual warfare against those demons, we Carmelites are actually prayer warriors. That's what we are. What we do in particular, our charism or our specialty, is prayer. And so the three orders is the first order is dealing with the priests. The second order, Carmelites, are the nuns. The third order are the lay people, also called secular, because we live in the world, and that's what I am. And if anybody's interested in that, I'm here in the Philadelphia suburbs. We do, there's a large group of us now that split up because it's so large. One is in Newtown Square at St. Mary Magdalene's. You can check that out and contact them. Or if you want to be a guest to their group or our group at St. Simon and Jude in Westchester, then please do. And you can learn more about the Carmelites, about what it's like to be a prayer warrior, to follow these famous Carmelites. Like in the first order, the famous Carmelite there is John of the Cross. The second order, where you have the nuns, that would be St. Teresa of Avila, or also St. Therese the Little Flower. She's known as Therese Lisieux. And there's other saints like St. Teresa of the Andes, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. And then for us, we are the lay people, so the third order. So those are the different orders. We're all prayer warriors. We are really the first one that goes into battle. When it comes time for any kind of problem, we are the ones that are called into battle. So many of us, though, are led to believe that prayer is the last ditch effort to do. So let's say somebody is, out of a job, or somebody has a problem with their marriage, or if somebody has a problem with some sort of addiction, whether it's addiction to gambling or food or pornography, or with alcohol or drugs. Some people will say, they'll try this, and that. And then when that doesn't work or this doesn't work, they'll say, well, all we have left is prayer. Or let's say somebody has a really serious illness or even dying. They're scared of that person's soul, that they may not get to heaven. So they think, oh, the last hope is now prayer. Well, on the contrary, prayer is the first thing, and not only the last, but it should be the first. It should be the beginning, middle, and end. We should pray all the way through every moment that we can. Our whole day and our whole life should be filled with prayer. And what is prayer? It's a conversation with God. It's just like talking to your best friend, somebody that you're so close to, whether that's your own parents, your own sister, your brother, your best friend, your spouse, your coach, whoever that might be. It's talking heart to heart, and that's how it is with God, because he knows more about us than we know of ourselves. And so we are this prayer warrior. And in fact, St. Padre Pio, one of his famous quotes says, is that prayer is the best weapon we have, he says. He says, prayer is the best weapon we have. He actually goes on to say, it's the key to God's heart. And so if you want God's heart to melt, then speak to him with the best weapon you have, and that's prayer. Because prayer is nothing more than talking to somebody that you love, and that's God. And so with this, the Blessed Mother, heard St. Simon Stock's prayer. And I was saying, St. Simon Stock, when they had to flee the Holy Land, Mount Carmel, right, Karim El, the Garden of God, that he was in his cell, in England, and he was distraught because of, you know, the persecutions from the Saracens, and there was dissensions from, you know, from the Carmelites. And so he was praying. He was in England, in Aylesford, England, and he was weighed down by all this persecution and dissension. And so when he was there, that's when the Blessed Mother appeared with a multitude of angels, and she was holding the scapular. And this scapular, there's the famous quote that said, "This shall be to you and to all Carmelites a privilege that anyone who dies clothed in this scapular shall not suffer eternal fire." So one way to look at it is like, it's a way to help us so we don't go to hell. It's another way to look at it. It's a way for us, to help speed our way and rescue us if we end up in purgatory, so we can get to heaven sooner. But what it's not a lucky charm. It's not like do not treat it like a free ticket to heaven, like a get out of purgatory or get out of jail or get out of hell. It's not like that. It's not like, you know, playing Monopoly and you're in jail and you get released from there. No. Once a person is in hell, you don't get out. In purgatory, yes, you'll do your time, because nothing imperfect can enter heaven. Only you have to have been totally clean. And that's what the purging is about. In purgatory, you have to be purged clean, right? And so, this is a privilege that if we wear it, that she promises it, and that we will, if we die wearing this, we shall not suffer eternal fire, which is hell. In fact, those who wear the scapular, it's actually a sign that you're going to be saved. Now, it's not a guarantee. So I don't want you to think that, you know, you wear this, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. No, there's a condition. Remember, the greatest of all prayers is a conditional prayer. And that prayer is the Our Father. And the Our Father, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others, right? So that as, if we don't forgive others, that's the condition, then we're not going to be forgiven. And so Jesus actually even underscores that condition in the most perfect prayer. I mean, this is the prayer that Jesus taught the apostles. And he said, after he gave that prayer, and I'm looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, he actually specifically says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father, meaning God the Father, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That underscores the condition of our salvation. So when people mistakenly think once saved, always saved, look what Jesus says in particular. And he was saying this to the apostles, right? He said this to the apostles. He taught them the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And he underscored, after teaching them, he said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, he's talking to the apostles, the original followers of Jesus Christ. He said, now, and imagine, was there one of those 12 that actually fell away, even though he was an apostle? Yes, that was Judas. That, again, shows biblically that you can lose your faith, you see? And so he was warning the apostles that if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. It's a condition. Our salvation is conditional. Thereby, there's Jesus' own words. You know, say, he said it, I believe it. So this is why it's a condition. And so the same thing with this condition of the scapular, that you can't just wear it and say, I got a free ticket to heaven. It's a sign that I'm saved. Yes, it's a sign, but it doesn't mean you are good. It's once saved, always saved. Just wear this. Nope. The condition is you have to give the Blessed Mother some sort of honor, right? Some sort of thanks. Usually we pray the Hail Mary. We pray the Rosary, which is biblical, by the way. It's not a bunch of just flapping our lips and have meaningless words. The Hail Mary is the center of the Hail Mary is actually the word Jesus, and it's focused on Luke chapter 1 through the eyes of Our Lady, and she reflects on all the life of Jesus Christ. So we're looking at it through her eyes. And so we have to do some sort of prayer for her. Some people may do even the office to the Blessed Mother. It's a special group of prayers to pray to Our Lady for help. The other thing is you actually have to be practice purity and chastity, because Our Lady was pure and chaste. She didn't have any children after having baby Jesus. She never had any relations with St. Joseph. That's why it's a dogma of our Catholic faith that she was immaculately conceived. In other words, there was no original sin, you know, the sin from Adam and Eve. She didn't have that sin on her soul like we all do. She was a perpetual virgin. So that means before she had baby Jesus, she was a virgin. During her delivery, she was a virgin. After her delivery, she was a virgin. Her life with St. Joseph until St. Joseph died, she was a virgin. She was a perpetual virgin. And so what we need to do, if we're going to wear the scapular, we have to be chaste in our life. Well, some of you would say, well, wait a second, Dr. Anton, I'm married. Well, what that means, you have to be faithful to your spouse. That means you can't be acting like you're a married single, like you're going around and having relations with other people, right? No, it's, you have to keep faithful and pure to your spouse. So some people would think, well, I'm not committing adultery. I'm just looking at, you know, porn and not hurting anybody. No, that's actually adultery as well. Jesus even says, if you look at a woman with your eyes lustfully, you're committing adultery. So even that, or if you're just watching like really crazy R-rated shows nowadays, like this PG shows that are like soft, rated R or soft X programs. And so you got to watch out about that. So if you wear the scapular, you really got to watch out what you're watching or listening to, or, you know, going on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook or what have you. So you have to practice, you know, purity and chastity. You have to give honor to Our Lady, some sort of thanks to her for giving us this opportunity. And of course, you should be enrolled as a member of what she calls the, or what we know as the confraternity. So there's a special ceremony and prayer that a priest or deacon will do and will clothe you with the scapular officially, that you're enrolled, you're a member, and that now will put a blessing on you, you the person, and your scapular. So if you lost your scapular or gets torn or worn down, you don't have to get the investiture, it's called the special prayers, done on you, because you're blessed on that. But you can get another blessing on a new scapular if you lost it, tore it, you know, or wore it down for whatever reason. So that's what you do. And on that topic, you know, scapulars, there's a lot of different colors. You know, there's a red one, there's a white one, there's a blue one, there's a black one, there's a green one. There's actually 17 different types of scapulars or different colors of scapulars, but the most famous of all is the brown scapular. So now let me get to the secret of life, which I learned through the Carmelites, all right? And why did I learn it? Well, it's because our Lord, it was prophesied that the Lord will teach us, God will teach us himself. And where did he teach us? He taught us through the Our Father prayer. And that's where we see in Luke chapter 11 that the disciples, it could have been John, I'm not sure, but it said, the hint is that the disciple said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray like as John taught his disciples." You see, so how would they know? Well, that could have been the only two apostles that I know that were disciples of St. John the Baptist. That was John the Apostle and Andrew. So one of them, I'm thinking, is John is asking Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So remember, the apostles could have asked Jesus to teach them anything. Hey, Jesus, teach us how to preach. Teach us how to do miracles. Teach us how to walk on water. Teach us how to multiply the fish and loaves. Teach us how to do carpentry like you learned from St. Joseph. Teach us how to catch all those fish that, you know, that Peter caught. You know, teach us how to raise the dead. Teach us how to, you know, make a blind person see, the leper walk, the lame walk and heal the leper. Oh, but they didn't ask any of that. What they saw that was special about Jesus is that he had this relationship where that he talked with his Father, and they wanted that. That was the secret. The secret of Carmel is prayer. And why is that the secret? Because when you have prayer that you learn from the Lord, like the Our Father, specifically Our Father, you will learn the secret of life is to be one with God. That is the secret of life. Unity with the Trinity. Unity with the Trinity. When you pray, and the springboard is the Our Father, the most perfect prayer, that you will talk to the Father, which leads you to the Son, which leads you to the Holy Spirit, and then glorifies the Holy Trinity, that you will be one with them. And then when they can release to you all the graces that you are destined to have in your life, so you will experience God here and now in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your life, so you can carry your cross and be victorious for whatever that's holding you back, what's holding your spouse and yourself and your marriage, your children, your grandchildren, your job. He will help you. And this is why Jesus even said, learn from me. He said, take up my yoke and learn from me. And so what is that yoke? That yoke is the cross that he gives you. It's a tailor-made cross that actually is meant not only to make you spiritually stronger, but it'll help you physically stronger. It'll help you mentally get stronger. It's not going to bear you down that you're going to bust and break. You may bend, but you won't break. The Holy Spirit, the Ruah, he's the Lord, the giver of life. He will inspire you. He will, like, lift your sails so you can soar. You're like a windsurfer or paraglider. But at the same time, like, if you're a sailor, you know, he can make your ship. He'll fill the winds of your sail. So literally, you can make it from heaven to the safe harbors, from here on earth to the safe harbors of heaven. And this is the secret of life. And when I became a Carmelite, once I realized this secret, it's like I told a fellow Carmelite, I said, it's like I wasted my entire life before Carmel. I wish I knew about the power of prayer. Prayer literally can move mountains. Prayer is the best weapon we have, St. Padre Pio said. But yet we always think it's the last resort. Oh, all we can do now is pray, as if, like, there's nothing left. That's actually the best thing to do, because that's what our Lord chose to do and showed the example, right? That he would wake up early in the morning, he'd talk to his Father. The apostles would chase him down, like, where were you? We're looking for you. Well, he was praying. He was taking time to talk with his Father. Anytime he made a big decision, he went off to go pray. 40 days in the desert, right? And that's when he decided after that to go and start his ministry and then pray some more and chose the 12 apostles. So the same thing, before you do anything, make sure you pray. Ask the Holy Trinity for your help. That's the secret of life. The rule of the game of life. Remember, God is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection, the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's our light, right? And so the game of life, the way to win is with the creator of life. Who is life itself? Who is truth himself? Who is goodness himself? Who is beauty himself? That's God. So if you go to him, you're going to be the winner. What's that scripture verse? You know, you could do all, from, what is it, Philippians 4:13? I can do all things with God who strengthens me, right? What's that other verse? If God be with me, who could be against me? The answer to your problems in this game of life is the creator, life himself, God himself. Talk to him, bear your heart and soul to him, cry your eyes out, tell him your heart's desires. He wants it for you as long as it's his will that will make you holy and sanctified so you can be with him in heaven. What good is it if you gain the world? What good is it if you're popular on YouTube? What good is it if you're so rich, but you don't make it to, with God in heaven? Then you're a failure. He wants us to be successful. And what does successful mean? To be faithful, faith-filled, so we can be one with God in heaven. That's what we need to do. And so the Lord taught us this. It was prophesied he would come down here and teach us himself. We don't got to go to YouTube for this and learn all this thing. We have scripture. We have the Holy Eucharist. We can go to daily adoration or daily mass, and he will teach us himself. He said, learn from me, take up my yoke, and you will find rest. You'll find peace. Even the Blessed Mother, when she appeared July 13, back in 1917, she taught the children how to pray, you know, the rosary prayer, right? She said, she taught the children, oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. She taught, so our Lord taught us how to pray the Our Father. Our Lord taught us to take up our yoke. The Blessed Mother taught us this prayer to pray the rosary. So I'm also in turn trying to teach you the secret of life, to be have unity with the Trinity. And the way to do that is through pray. And that's why one of the reasons why I named this program Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, because we are delivered by the cross of, by through the Our Father, right? We're signed with the cross of Christ. When we pray in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, meaning that we officially become a child of God and that we officially become a warrior for Christ, and that we're delivered through the Our Father prayer. That means we can be delivered from our own selfishness, our own sin, and be victorious. And that's the hope that I'm trying to give to you. So I thank you all, you brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you for staying with me for this program and choosing to listen here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And so God bless you. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. God bless you all.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.